Good morning or good afternoon to everyone who's joining us for today's internet seminar. Again, we're going to look at TAB-EV, which is a free electronic tool to help you write EPA assessment and cleanup grants. It's been sponsored by EPA's Brownfield Program. My name is Jean Ballant, and I'm coming out of EPA's Technology Innovation and Field Services Division in D.C., where I'll be serving as today's moderator. Again, we're going to get started in just a minute or two, and while we're waiting for others to join us, a few last minute people to hop on the phone lines, I just want to cover a couple of basic housekeeping items. If you haven't done so already, you should be sure to download or open up today's presentation either through a web browser or, again, locally download either a PDF or PowerPoint copy of today's presentation material. You were given a URL to do so when you registered. It's also on that seminar homepage. I'm going to ask whoever's joined us on the phone line, please place your line on mute. I'm getting a lot of feedback. I don't have a mute button. Hit *6 to place your phone on mute. Thank you. And again, if I have any problems, I'll globally mute everybody. And Sabina and Deb, I'll give you instructions on how to talk through that. But hopefully we can carry on. And again, just a reminder, on the seminar homepage, which was something you were given when you registered, either by email as well as up on the screen, on that seminar homepage, you can download today's PowerPoint presentation or actually click on the button that says Go to Seminar and look at the slides in an online browser. On that seminar homepage, there was information about today's session as well as contact information for our speakers as well as myself. That homepage will continue to exist even after today's session. So if you want to go back there to refer for future comments or questions, you're welcome to do so because we'll keep that page up. It's also the same page where you'll be able to access today's archive when it's available in about a week or so. Just a note, again, if you're on the phone lines, we do ask that you keep your phone on mute. I'm going to ask everyone who's looking at the slides to move past the title slide and go ahead to slide number 2, which is our basic housekeeping slide. It has instructions on how to mute your phone lines. Either hit your own mute button or hit *6 to place your phone on mute. We will have breaks throughout today's presentation where we'll be able to have you verbally ask questions if you like, and at that time I'll let you know how to unmute your line. But until then, we do ask that you hit *6. And I don't know who it is, but I do have a heavy breather on the line. I'm hearing a lot of feedback from somebody, so I will ask again one last time, please hit *6. Even if you think you've done it, do it again to make sure you're on mute right now. Again, at the time for Q&A, we'll provide instructions on how you can unmute your line. And I do thank you in advance for that because it'll help cut back on the background noise that could disrupt the quality of the audio transmission. Reminder as well, do not put this phone call on hold. That can oftentimes have commercials or background music that'll be disruptive. So just keep this on mute using your own mute button or hit *6. Another reminder on slide number 2, we will be taking breaks for Q&A. Those of you who are streaming the audio online, though, you can type up your questions or comments electronically at any point in time. You don't have to wait for the Q&A break. You can go ahead and click one of the orange icons that you see above your slides in the online version or through your browser window. There's a question mark button. As long as your pop-up blockers have been disabled, if you click that, a new window will open up and enable you to type up a comment or question, which at the appropriate times I will read off on your behalf to the instructors to answer. So again, you can type up those comments or questions at any time, and at the time for Q&A, we'll field those questions and read them out loud for you, and then we'll also take a break to take questions from those on the phone. You can also use that question mark icon to report any technical difficulties you may be having. Just be sure to include a telephone number where you can be reached so that our tech support staff can reach out and contact you to troubleshoot your problems. Again, each individual is expected to move through the materials on their own, so you will have to move through the slides at verbal cues from our instructors. You can either use the numbered links that appear on the left side if you're looking at the slides online, or you can use the single arrow that appears above the slides in an orange button to move forward one slide. If you click to the right, you use the arrow pointing to the left, so it'll move you backwards one slide. If you've got them printed, then all you have to do is flip the page manually again at the verbal cues from the instructor. One other reminder, we will have this entire session recorded and available for download in approximately 1 week. So if you do think this is a valuable session or you think others that you know will be able to benefit from listening to it, you can certainly send them to the seminar homepage where they can download or replay the session within a week or so at no charge. Again, that does indicate we are recording today's presentation. If you are interested in learning more about Clean Seminars, you can certainly sign up for our free podcast in iTunes to receive our latest trainings as soon as they're available. When everything is all said and done today, though, we're going to point you to two final links that are very important. The first link that you'll see at the end of the presentation today is a link to additional resources where not only can you download today's PowerPoint presentation, but a number of other resources that are relevant to the topic. that we'll cover today. The second link that I'll point everyone to is our online feedback form. It does take just a minute or two to fill it out, and we ask you in advance to be sure to do so. I read each and every one of those comments. So if you'd like to continue to see free online training like this delivered, please be sure to fill out that feedback form and let us know how we did. If you're looking for confirmation of your participation for your own training records or for PDHs or CEUs, I'd highly recommend that you fill out that feedback form and check the box for a confirmation email to be sent to you so you can keep that for your records. So with that, again, a final reminder, keep your phone lines on mute. Hit *6 to do so. I think we're officially going to segue over to our presentation space. I'm going to ask everybody to move to slide 3, which is a new slide that we added this morning. So if you downloaded those slides yesterday, you're going to be off by one slide. It's just an introductory slide that we added. You can certainly go down and get the latest version from the homepage if you like. But starting on slide 3, I'm going to turn things over to Deborah Orr from EPA Region 5. Deb?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, thanks for the tips on how to navigate and keep the line open so that everyone can hear, Jean. Good afternoon. I'm Deborah Orr, the Brownfields Coordinator for Region 5, and I appreciate the opportunity to participate in the webinar today. I'll be introducing the speaker and providing context to the presentation that we're hearing. I'm glad to be here. Our goal is to improve the small and rural communities' chances in the upcoming competition for the Brownfields Funds. The picture that you see on the introductory slide is from Metropolis, Illinois, population 6,482. And Metropolis is located in southern Illinois, off of exit 37 on Interstate 24. Metropolis is the official home of Superman, and they honor their favorite son with a 15-foot bronze statue in Superman Square. Metropolis is also home to Fort Massac State Park, and that's the first state park in Illinois at Fort Massac because if it's perching on Ohio River, on the Ohio River, you can take in breathtaking views and take a walk back in time by visiting an 1802 replica of the fort. The Laidlaw site, which is directly adjacent, and that's what's pictured here, to Fort Massac State Park, is the oldest and perhaps the most popular state park, and it's the site of an 18th century fort. The environmental assessment that was performed at the site revealed groundwater and soil contamination at the property from volatiles and semi-volatiles, and with a cost for cleanup approximately $428,000. The city of Metropolis took control of the property in 2007 and financed the remediation through an EPA hazardous substance remediation grant and a 15-year revolving loan that was made available through the Illinois EPA. What's interesting about this site is that all of this is driven by the Friends of Fort Massac, which is a nonprofit group supporting the State Farm, and they plan on redeveloping the property as an ethnic, 18th century frontier village. Once remediation is completed at the site, the group will develop the tourist attraction using a scenic byways grant and matching funds of about $350,000. The city also is making improvements to the area through construction of a $12 million bike route. And that all goes towards improving the economy of Metropolis and the quality of life for the people that live there. I'm not sure if they use TabEZ to do all of that, but they could have, because they're a small community and are located in a rural county. We'll be demonstrating Brownfields TabEZ today. This tool is designed to make grant writing easier. It has just been updated to incorporate the 2011 proposal guidelines, and one thing to note is that this is no substitute for reading and closely following the detailed guidelines. Our presenter today will be Dr. Sabine Martin. Dr. Martin is the Director of the Technical Assistance to Brownfields Community Program at the Center for Hazardous Substance Research at Kansas State University. This organization assists communities in both Region 5 and Region 7, which contains 10 states, with brownfields revitalization issues. Before joining the Center for Hazardous Substance Research in 2002, she worked as a consultant in the environmental industry. Dr. Martin has both a master's in geology and a PhD in hydrogeology from Justus Limburg University in Germany. Dr. Martin, you want to get started?
Sure. Thanks, Deb. Thanks for the introduction. I'm Sabine Martin. As Deb said, I'm with the TAP program here at Kansas State University. So I thought we're going to step through some slides, and right now I am on slide number 5, and the title on that is Technical Assistance to Brownfield TAB Communities, and that's what TAB stands for, Technical Assistance to Brownfield. This is a national program, just to give you a little bit of background as to how all this fits into the picture. This program is funded by EPA headquarters right now to 4 different entities across the nation, and we are one of these entities. All the services that we do provide to communities, brownfields revitalization, and any other issues that they might have with brownfields is totally free. There are no strings attached. And as Deb already mentioned, we are serving communities in EPA regions 5 and 7. And the next slide depicts the EPA regions across the nation. And you can see region 5 is kind of smack right in the middle, that little lavender area, and region 5 is off to the right, that orange area. Slide number 7, this just gives you a little glance as to what we can do for brownfield communities. Whatever we do is tailored to the specific community need. There's no one-size-fits-all approach, and typically we coordinate through the city, tribal, or not-for-profit brownfields project manager, but oftentimes we also work with grassroots organizations who want to tackle brownfield issues. And I put some items here as to how we may be able to help, and that is by no means everything, but it gives you sort of an idea. Third item down, helping find a consulting company. That does not mean that we recommend certain firms. It means that we can step the community through the RFP process, request for proposals, that we can help them evaluate proposals by, for example, doing a spreadsheet for them where we compare the different items that the consulting firms had to respond to in the RFP, stuff like that. One other service that we provide is the review of EPA and other grant applications. And for those of you in Region 5 and 7 who are listening, let me know early if you would like to have that done so I can put you in the queue, because we have a limited number of staff, of course, and if we get overwhelmed by applications, they might not get done, so we do them as they come in. And if you send them 2 days before the applications are due, they might not get reviewed. Community outreach.
Sabine, yeah. Before you go any further, there's just been a comment or two from some individuals that are having a hard time hearing you.
Okay.
This is just a note. For those of you who are streaming the audio, please be sure to boost your computer speakers as loud as you can. Those of you on the phone line, again, turn your speaker phone or your telephone audio up as much as you can. And then only to comment to you, Sabine, if you can speak a little bit slower, that might help improve the audio transmission.
Okay, I will do that. I will try to speak a little bit louder, too, but let us know if that does not work and if you still can't hear.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Jean. Okay, and so the last thing I think I want to mention here is workshops and any other assistance that we can provide. And I said before, the services that we do provide are free. They are on a first-come, first-served basis, and it always depends on the staff and the funding availability that we do have, but thus far we never had to turn anybody away. So I'm moving to the next slide, which would be slide number 8, and that brings us to TAB Easy. And you see the URL up there. It's www.tabeasy.org. And if you want to, if the stepping through an e-tool just by slides, I mean, it's boring, I admit that. And if you want to, you can hop on to Tab Easy Live. You want to open up the browser on your computer and do that, and I will tell you where to click, and you can see it live. But this is how the homepage looks like, and I'm just giving you a little bit of background right now on TabEasy and why we developed it. So you have that. We're moving on to the next slide, number 9. TabEasy is free. It's an online tool. Anybody can access it, and it was developed with our EPA grant funding, and basically it was developed to make the application process for EPA brownfields assessment and cleanup grants easier for communities who do not have professional grant writers on staff or other limited personnel that they just can't get to it in a timely manner. So it hopefully really streamlines the process. The prototype of TabEasy, and I'm on slide 10 now, the next slide, was developed by Purdue University under their TAB grant, and we basically updated that version, added to it, because there were issues with the software, and this version that you're looking at right now that I will go through is, or was released in September of 2008. Next slide. The reason why TabEasy was developed, and Deb already mentioned some of it, is basically to level the playing field for smaller and rural communities. And as I said, those communities don't have access to professional grant writers, they have limited staff available, and a lot of times for these communities, they all have real jobs, in addition to being the mayor, the county commissioner, the city clerk, what have you. And with TabEasy, we thought it's good because it's time and place independent. I mean, you can, wherever there's a computer, you can work on it, and it's flexible. So that might be important to communities who are stretched on resources. And it integrates really brownfields education with support, and you'll see that a little bit later as well. Moving on to the next slide, number 12. Here's what TabEasy can or cannot do. I mean, it can, of course, provide a framework. That's what it's intended to do for an EPA brownfields assessment and cleanup grant proposal. It can provide strategies and links to reduce, hopefully, the time in writing the proposal. But it cannot write the proposal for you. I mean, you as the grant writer, in quotes, still has to come up with a language that makes your proposal unique and that makes EPA want to give you the money for your project. And another thing, next slide, that TabEasy also is not a substitute for reading the grant guidelines. You still have to read it. We put all the criteria in there verbatim as they are in the grant guidelines, but if you ever looked at the grant guidelines, there are, gosh, I don't know, 30, 40 pages, and there's a lot of explanatory text in there that we did not add. And there are references to that in TabEasy, but the actual text is not there. And there's, of course, a link to the actual guidelines in TabEasy as well. But we also always recommend read the guidelines in addition to working on the tool. Next slide. The features and benefits to users, what we think, it's very, very user-friendly. I would think even somebody who is not used to working with the computer, with software, can easily get through TabEasy. You can access it anytime as long as you have computer access and internet access. And as I already said, it integrates brownfields education with online support. There's a bunch of definitions, regulatory citations, and pertinent federal state web links incorporated in TabEasy. You'll see that later. And one thing especially helpful, hopefully, are the helpful hints that we attach to most of the criteria to be addressed in the grant application. Next slide. This is slide number 15. Here is my contact information. Again, and colleagues of mine here at the TAP Center at Kansas State University as well, so just in case you need some support. For those of you who know people who maybe wanted to listen to this webcast but could not because of scheduling issues, let me know, and we can do a walkthrough through TabEasy on an individual basis, or if you have to hop off because of scheduling issues. If you have any questions, just call me, send me an email, let me know. Moving to the next slide. And here is where we really get started with Tap Easy. What you see on slide number 16 is the home page of Tap Easy after you log in under www.tabeasy.org. This is the page that pops up. Just a regular home page. If you read the slide, it reiterates what Tap Easy can do for you and what it cannot do for you. There's a notification on there that we just updated Tap Easy to be consistent with the FY11 Brownfields Grant Guidelines. It also tells you when your submittals are due to EPA. Let's just walk through, and basically what I did on these screenshots is I highlighted the areas where we're going to go next. You see that little orangey reddish highlight on the slate. It's over About Tab Easy on the left-hand side of the screen, and I also put an arrow there for you to be able to see where to click just in case you want to follow on the live tool. So now if you would click on About Tab Easy on the left-hand side panel, we go to slide 17, and this is what you get. This just tells you a little bit about, as it says, about Tab Easy, who developed it, and what the partners in this endeavor were, and where the funding came from. Going to the next slide, slide 18, again, the home page, and the next thing we're going to look at is the tutorial. For those of you who opted to follow live, you may not want to click that because once you click it, it tries to upload, or it will upload the tutorial, but the tutorial is rather lengthy and large, so it might take a while to upload. And basically, it just walks you through, and I'll show you the screenshot on that. That's the next slide, number 19. You will see the screenshots from Tab Easy, and then we'll put a bunch of explanatory text next to it so you know what everything is. So, but just in case you like tutorials, I know a lot of people don't, it's there. Moving to the next slide, number 20, this brings us back to the home page. And the next thing we're going to look at are the definitions incorporated into Tab Easy. And again, this is under the quick link section on the left-hand sidebar in the tool. So we'll click definitions, and we'll get to page number 21. And we put a lot of definitions into Tab Easy. They are alphabetized, and you can see on this page it starts with assessment grants, and I cut it off at hazardous substance, whatever came there. But we try to go through Tab Easy and see, okay, what might need a definition. And there, it could be, of course, that there is something that we didn't address, but we tried to do the best we could in the time that we had here. So if there's anything that you think is missing here, and that goes for the entire tool, and I'm going to say that throughout the webcast, you'll see in the right-hand corner of the screen there's a Contact Us feedback button. If you want to click that on the live tool, there will be an email prompt, and you can just give us your feedback. Or you can contact me directly using the contact information that was on one of the slides. So these were the definitions. We're going to go to slide number 22, back to the home page, and now we're going to take a look at the acronyms, also on the left-hand side panel of the screen. And these are acronyms that came up in the guidelines, the assessment and the cleanup guidelines. These are terms or acronyms that you encounter in these pages. And again, if there is something that we missed, something that is very obvious that we think needs to be explained, please let us know. Next slide, number 24. Now we're moving to the top bar on the screen, on the tool. We're going to go to resources, and that brings us to slide number 25. The resource section includes the definition and the acronyms, as you can see, but it also includes all the helpful hints in the assessment and the cleanup grant applications that we came up with. So if you click on these topics, they are links, and a screen will open up, with, for example, a PDF of all the helpful hints in the assessment grant application. You have community involvement here, the DUNS number, liability protection, sample grant applications, and we'll get to that a little bit later, statistics and census, tab info.
So now on slide number 26, we just clicked on sample grant applications. And we update these every year. So every time we update the grant guidelines, we update the sample applications. These are successful grant applications from last year's grant round. And as you can see, we have a slew of assessment grants there community-wide. And if you're on the live tool and you scroll down the screen, there are a lot of site-specific assessment grant applications. There is only one cleanup grant application right now, and that's due to the fact that that was all we were supplied with by EPA headquarters. But I will try to get more because one is, I mean, it would be nice to have like maybe two or three examples instead of just one, especially since we have so many assessment grant applications. But you can see all of these are PDFs. I think, I hope we took the private information out of those, and basically, they're there from page 1 to page 18, and you can just see how things were worded in a successful grant application. So that might help you for yours, too. I mean, one caveat, though, please don't copy verbatim. You never know who reviews your application. It might be the same person who reviewed the one that you copied from last year, so that's probably not a good thing to do. Next, we're clicking on search, and you see that across the top bar on the top bar of tab easy on the screen, moving to slide number 27. And the search function in tab easy works just like in any other software application that you may have used.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
You basically just type in the search, the word that you're searching for, the phrase that you're searching for, your hit search, and the page where that word, where the phrase would occur, it will pop up. The same with the help menu. We'll just click on help. We're moving to slide number 28. This is the help page. Again, the contact us. You click that, you mouse over it, and you know that this is an active link. That will get directly to an email application, and that email comes to me. We have FAQs there, and we'll go over that a little bit later. And we have, of course, a link to the tutorial here. So we click on the FAQs. That's on the left-hand side of the screen under In This Section. It's at number 29 now. And these are the frequently asked questions pertaining to Tab Easy that we came up with. And the first one is really important. Can lost text be recovered? And the answer to that is no. You really need to save everything you type in this application, and we'll go over how to do that later. I mean, but this needs to become something. If you use TypeEasy, it needs to become an automatic, because once you move on, your text is lost, and that could be problematic. And there are other things here. How can I report a problem? Why do I register? And all this kind of happy stuff. Registration, that's the next thing I want to show you, so we'll go to the next slide, number 30, and for those of you who follow live, click on register in the upper right-hand corner of the screen. For registration, you don't need to have much. Basically, your first name, your last name, your email, and then you come up with a password, which has to be at least 8 characters in length. And you type all that in, you hit the little box, I have read and agree with the above information, and you kind of can scroll down through on the sidebar through that little text box there. You click submit, and you're good to go. And that's really all that is needed. If you have registered already, and you later on want to use TypeEasy, all you would need to do is log in, and that's the next thing I'm going to show you, that's slide number 31. If you click log in, basically, as you can see, it just prompts you to put in your complete email address and your password that you selected. In case you forgot your password, and it happened to me, you just need to put, I forgot my password, and something will happen that makes you either get, I can't remember how it was. I don't think it dredges up your old password, but I think it gives you up a password, a temporary password, and then you can change that to match your old one or put a new one in, I mean, whatever works for you. But your work will not be lost, so you will be able to access that. In case that should not work or you have problems with that, let me know, and we'll help you from this end. So slide number 32. Time for questions. What I just showed you is the part of Tap Easy that you can access without registering. So anybody who wants to see definitions, acronyms, whatever, the resources, that all can be done without registering for the tool. The only time you really need to register for the tool, if you want to use Tap Easy to write a grant application. And that is basically for your protection, so nobody else will be able to see your work, and it's all protected as much as that's possible on the Internet, so you can feel hopefully safe about that. So if there are any questions, this would be a good point, a good time to at least get the preliminary stuff out of the way.
Okay, and so with that, again, on slide number 32, if you are streaming the audio online, you want to be sure your pop-up blockers are disabled and click the question mark icon above your slide to submit your comments or questions now. While we wait for some of those to come in, I'll provide instructions for those of you who have muted your lines. You can go ahead and verbally ask a question. You can either hit the unmute button on your phone or hit #6 to take yourself off of mute. You can go ahead and ask Sabina a question directly. And for the individual who just coughed, your line is not muted, so we can hear you. So if you don't have a question, you want to be sure to hit *6 to keep yourself on mute. Again, anybody, #6 if you have a question or comment? And those of you online, you can feel free to go ahead and type up those comments or questions at any time. All right, Sabine, I don't see anything or hear anybody.
Okay.
So since we do have more time for Q&A, I'm going to allow you to proceed and then have everybody move on to slide number 33.
All right. Thanks, Jean. So now we're getting to the part of Tap Easy that you do need to register for. So if you're following the live tool and you have not registered, you might want to do it now or just hold up and do it afterwards, you know, when it's not that pressing regarding time. Now, what I'm going to do is we're going to click on grant applications, and you will be prompted if you have not logged in before you do that. And grant applications, you'll see the red arrow pointing to the top side of the screen. At that point, you will be prompted to log in. And you need to have your password and your username, which is your email address, ready. So once you do that, slide number 34, If you didn't use Tap Easy before, obviously you don't have any old grant applications in there. So now it's basically you, for the first time, use Tap Easy, you click grant applications. What pops up is start a new grant application. And now you will choose the type of your grant application. And if you move on to slide number 34, if you click that, choose your grant application. It's a drop-down menu. You see the assessment grant and the cleanup grant. So now you decide what you're going to apply for, assessment or cleanup. You click one of those, and then you hit save and continue. Next slide, number 36. And what I did here, I selected cleanup grant. Once I do that, I'm prompted to provide an application name. What do I want to call this grant? And in this case, I just called it CleanSide. I mean, you can select any name you want to. It's just for the purpose of writing the proposal here. And again, you click Save and Continue. We're on slide number 37 next. Once you do that, you're prompted to decide what type of contamination you will address with this grant funding, hazardous substances, petroleum, or both. And you see the little circles there, and you click on one of them, and then you hit apply, and that's the application outline that will pop up. So on slide number 38, I clicked both, and I clicked apply, and on slide number 39, I get the grant outline that is consistent with my selections. So these items that you see here now, I mean, this is a very busy screen / slide. I mean, you see the name that you gave the grant application, in this case, CleanSide, popping up at the top. Then you have some text here before you submit your proposals, blah, blah, blah. Then there is the checklist. That's an active link, and that's the checklist out of the grant guidelines where you can check off that you have all the materials together to submit now your application. The mailing instructions, we put that in there for the cleanup grant, can be found on page 20 of the guidelines, so just in case you want to check that out. All the other stuff down here from 3C, all these different criteria, they are exactly as they appear in the grant guidelines. You see the last contributor. Once somebody puts text to it, to any criterion that's in this application, their name will appear there. So you know also, and we'll go over that a little bit later, you can collaborate with other people, but you always will know who was the last person working on this grant application, and the associated date will appear next to it. The status, if you look there right now, you have a bunch of red dots there. That means nothing has happened at all to these criteria. Nobody has worked with them. Nobody has addressed them. Nobody put text to it. If somebody works with us and puts some text to it, but does not say this criterion was addressed and it's over and done with, we're moving on, these red circles will change to orange for that particular section. I'll show you that a little bit later. If somebody is done with a section, like say, for example, just as an example, eligible entity is finished, and you tell the program that it's finished, that circle will turn green. So with one view, you can see what you did, what you still have to address, and what still needs to be addressed in the future. So you kind of know where you are in the application writing process. Some people like to address the sections that give them the highest points first. Some people work differently when they go from top to bottom through an application, but not everybody does that. So that will help a little bit. The other thing I want to point out here is the character count, and I'll show you that a little bit later, too. Right now you see a bunch of zeros there. But we kind of counted, considering the format, the font, the size of the font that the guidelines require, how many characters would fit on an 18-page proposal. And that is in the important information README section, the exact character count for that. But you can keep track of how much you wrote. And I'm moving to the next slide, number 40. This is basically the bottom half of that screenshot that we saw before. Right now, it gives you, of course, the cleanup grant character count is zero. Nothing has been done. You can see that also the transmittal letter count is there, the hardship waiver count. Not that that is that important. For the transmittal letter, it might be more important since you only get 2 pages for that. But what I do want to show you here also is that you can export to Word or export as a PDF. What you need to do once you have all the text that you want in your proposals and you think you are at 18 pages, you do want to export to Word and tidy it up because, for example, you can see here also we put the points that a section is worth to it. And, of course, these headers and the associated points here will come through when you export to Word. And you might want to take something like that off before you submit. Moving to slide number 41, we go on to grant applications again. Slide number 42, this is how it looks when you have applications already. So once you hit grant applications and you have been working on one or two applications already, these applications will show up here. And it will tell you who the owner is, meaning who started the application. It will tell you who the last contributor was with a date. And then you have the option of either edit that particular application, or if it's an old one, like say from a previous grant cycle that you don't want anymore, you can delete it. And you can see I have a bunch of them on here, and that was just due to last year's testing. And I was the lone contributor there, but I mean, in your case, that might look totally different. But they will all be there, nothing will get lost. Slide number 43. This is what I addressed a little bit earlier, the status of the section. Right now you see like one lonely red circle at the bottom and a bunch of yellow-orangey circles. So the yellow-orangey circles are associated with sections where some text has been put in, but nobody said that that was finalized. That's why they're orange now. As you can see, the last contributor's name shows up there as well, and the date shows up, and the character count. So that's how it would look when you're in the process of working on TabEZ. Slide number 44. Just to show you again the character count, it totals automatically at the bottom of the page, just in case you ever want to check that. And then in red here would, of course, be all the sections that haven't been addressed yet in this particular application. Slide number 45. Taking a look at an assessment grant real quick. So I went into the drop-down menu under application type here, selected the name, hit save and continue. Then I picked on slide number 46, hazardous substances, and since it's an assessment grant, I have the choice between community-wide and site-specific, and I chose community-wide, and I clicked apply, and on slide number 47, the appropriate grant guideline, the outline of the application shows up. So since I click community-wide, you can see that under site eligibility, kind of like in the middle of the slide of the screen, there are no red circles on the right-hand side. And that is because I click community-wide, site eligibility will be determined after you are awarded the grant by the EPA. That's why you don't have to put any text to these sections. And that's why you don't have the option in TabEZ to put any text to these sections. The only option you have here is you can view site eligibility, which tells you a little bit about that criterion, and the property ownership eligibility. Another thing I wanted to show you is the petroleum sites, because I selected hazardous substances. Petroleum sites do not show up here. So that's, again, you cannot put any text to it. So once you make the preliminary selection as to what you want to address, what grant type you want to have, basically it spits out an application outline that is for that particular selection and nothing else. I want to show you real quick here how to add participants. You see that red arrow in the left-hand corner of that slide, add participants. We're moving to slide number 48. If you click that, here is how you add participants. And that would come into place, for example, you are the community planning person or the planner in your community. You want to invite somebody from economic development to look at your grant or help you write a section of the grant or just have, I don't know for what reason, whatever. But you can invite this person to collaborate with you, and instead of having to export everything you did so far into Word and email it, you can give them the permission to view whatever you have online. So there are two different parts to adding a participant in this case. You can invite a registered member, and registered means registered TabEZ user. So they have a username, they have a password. If you put their email in there and send a request, that's all you need to do. If you invite a person who is not registered, you would need to provide the first name, the last name, and their email address and send the request. Moving to the next slide, number 49, TabEZ generates this kind of message. So if I wanted to invite somebody, and I did in this case, that's why that screenshot is here, it says basically your name and then has invited you to help write a Brownfields grant proposal, da-da-da-da-da, and it gives you in the second paragraph the name of the application that you as the instigator here in quotes chose, and this project has been added to your grant application list. So a user that you invite or anybody who you invite, and that a person with an account with a username and a password, when they click on grant applications, your application will show up in that list. So it's really easy to add somebody. At the same time, if you're not happy with a person anymore contributing to your proposal, you can remove them. And that is if you go under Manage Participants, like shown on the screen on slide 50. The name shows up there of a person that you invited to participate to write an application. Their email shows up there, and then you have the option to remove. And manage participants is on the left-hand side of the screen under in this section. You see on the sidebar there, second up from the bottom. Okay, any questions on that part?
Yes, we actually have a number of questions that came in online, so I'm going to give them first priority, and I'll start going through them. The first question comes in from Chicago, Illinois, and they ask, how do I move text between Word and Tab EG? I know the software will export text to Word, but if I make changes, how do I bring that same text over to Word? Or bring in the text to Word?
Bring the text into Word or from Word to Tab EG?
I believe she says she knows that the software exports text to Word, but if I make changes, how do I bring the text to Word? That's what's written. So my assumption is you can go from Tab EG to Word, but you can't go from Word to Tab EG.
Well, you can. I mean, let's backtrack a little bit. For example, if I have a section and I want to write something about community involvement, and I wrote that section in a Word document, that's some text, I can cut and paste it into Tab EG. That is possible. And what I'll show you later, once we actually click on something, and that's going to be in the next section, I think, I have some screenshots of the text boxes in Tab EG where you will put this text in. So you could just cut and paste if you want to have some pre-written text incorporated into a Tab EG criterion.
Okay. The next question comes in from San Francisco, California, and we actually had two of them that came in relevant. I'm just going to kind of ask them together. The first one, and I think you covered this, but I just need to refresh everyone's memory. They state that this is available to anyone, correct? Not just those in Region 5 and Region 7.
That is correct.
They want to be sure that those outside of those regions, for example, outside the Kansas Tab area, can they still ask you Sabina technical questions?
Yes, they can. I mean, as long as it's associated with Tab EG, because we developed this as a nationwide tool, yes. I mean, we can answer questions and help anybody anywhere with this. It's
great.
Just the specific Tab assistance per se that we provide. There we are confined to regions 5 and 7. But for the Tab EG, it's wide open.
Okay. And then, again, related to that question coming in from Jacksonville, Florida, they think this is a great tool. And they wanted to double-check to make sure that if you're using a grant for a community outside Region 5, can you register and use all of the features of Tab EG?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, excellent. There's a comment that was made in reference to slide number 37, where they state that the live version, where we're looking at Tab EG online, has an extra question, where they talk about community-wide or site-specific. And I don't know if you want to make a comment about that.
An extra question.
Yes.
I don't know. I would have to go back. It could be that these are slides from, well, I try to make sure that they are consistent with what we have now. So let's put that question on hold, and I'll check in Tab EG per se and find out if I can answer that and why that would have an extra question.
Okay. The next question comes in from San Francisco, California. And they ask, or they make the statement, the types of grants that you can use this online application tool, assessment, and then in parentheses, site-specific and community-wide. And the next type is cleanup. But then they say, but you not or cannot be used for ROS, job training, or coalition?
That is correct, yes. Only for the brownfield assessment and cleanup grants.
Okay. And then, again, I think this is related, but I think you just confirmed this as well. Again, the same statement that this tool can only be used to apply for assessment or cleanup grants under this ARC competition and is not applicable for applying for a revolving loan fund or an RLF grant under the competition.
Yes, that is correct. I mean, one thing, if there were to be a lot of need out there for RLFs and we could find out about that somehow, I think that would be something that we might take a look at in the future. You know, like for job training grants or for RLF grants, too. I mean, if there's a need out there that people would like to see something like this for these other grant types, we might be able to take a look at that.
Okay, great. The next question also comes in from Long Beach, California, and this one's coming in with a little bit more specific about who can use it. They want to be sure that, can I use TabEasy for training to write a grant application, or is this an automatic real-life application?
That kind of depends what training, per se. I mean, you can, obviously you can use it for whatever you want to, if it serves your purpose. I mean, all you get is what's in the actual tool. So if that serves your training purposes, the answer would be yes. I just don't know what else you, I mean, you cannot enhance it for something. I mean, since it's open software, you know, it's available for free on the web, you can pretty much use it for whatever you want to, writing the application or training.
Okay. And then related or along the same lines, they ask, and this might be a question for the regional Brownfields people, but they ask who can write these types of proposals, an individual, a university, or a consulting firm?
There is a list there, actually, that goes to eligibility, and that changes a little bit from assessment to cleanup grants for not-for-profits. But basically not-for-profits can do this, tribes can do it, cities can do it. So there's a variety of stakeholders who are eligible for these grants.
Okay. My next question says, in the scenario when similar grants appear regularly every few months, can I start on the first call for proposal grant application? Do not submit it for the first call, but continue on the application for the second call for the next proposal on the same or similar subject?
In theory, the answer would be yes. I mean, for the past 3 years, ever since we came out with TabEasy, with this version of TabEasy, the grant guidelines have not drastically changed, thankfully. But that's not to say that they might not do in the future. So the only inherent danger would be is that, you know, maybe they shovel criteria around, that it's not under 3C anymore, but it's under 4B, or that questions get added, or questions get dropped, or criteria, I should say, get dropped. That's the only potential drawback if you wanted to directly transfer an application from, like, say, FY10 over to FY11, from FY11 to FY12. However, since your text gets saved, you know, under my application, you can always go cut and paste. You can export that into a Word document, save it outside of TabEasy, and then plop it back into the relevant questions or criteria and enhance or delete there.
Okay. And then there was a comment. There's about three more questions I'm going to take online, and then we'll switch over to the full ninth. They ask, regarding to the last question about using the tool, and I think this is a little bit more of an explanation about their question, can you create a draft and not apply at the moment? Is this information in TabEasy only for me to see until I decide to submit it?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Because in order to submit it, I mean, you would need to export to Word, and you would need to go through all the steps to submit the application to EPA as per the guidelines. So either you need to go and email it through grants.gov, or you can physically mail it in. But, I mean, TabEasy does not automatically submit your application to something. So you can do a draft, you can do the whole thing and not submit. It doesn't matter. It's totally up to you what you do with it.
Okay, great. The next question is coming in from Traverse City, and they ask, does TabEasy allow the grant originator to accept or reject invited participants' text additions and deletions before the online grant application is irreversibly altered, for example, like a track change feature in MS Word?
TabEasy doesn't have track change features. But what you can do, of course, if you are the owner, in quotes, of the grant, you can absolutely accept or delete, as long as it's identifiable to you what they added or what they deleted. And actually, you know what, I mean, I would need to check on that, but at one point in time, and I'm not 100% sure right now if we did it or not, that the text that somebody added popped up in a different color, which would be similar to a track change. So let me check on that. And then I will see what happens.
Okay.
But I mean, one thing I definitely want to say though, as the owner, I mean, since you are the one submitting, I mean, you have the authority to delete or to remove participants, as I mentioned before, and you also have the authority. I mean, you are the one who submits this finally. Nobody else will.
Okay. We have another question coming in from Chicago, and they ask, how do I request an EPA review of the grant application?
You can't. EPA cannot review the grant applications. I mean, what we can offer from TAB, and this goes mostly for the states and the regions that we serve, we offer as one of our services to review EPA grant applications. But, I mean, since everybody in the nation has access to a TAB, I mean, regardless where you are, in, for example, California, you have a TAB out there that services your state, your region. So they should be able to review grant applications for you as well. It's just that EPA per se cannot review applications since they are the ones judging it and then, you know, distributing the grant funds.
Okay. Coming in from Rock Falls, they ask, are my past proposals available after they are submitted? So if I want to reuse some information off of that application, all I would have to do in theory is copy and paste, especially if I'm away from the office.
Right. I mean, they will be available, yes.
There was someone came in with a clarifying statement again from Jefferson City about that comment or question about the extra question on slide number 37.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that was answered that basically the extra question only comes up if you select assessment. And slide 37, use example cleanup, the extra question didn't apply.
Okay, yeah, that's because the grant types are different. Yes. Okay, thanks.
And then one last question. They want to know if you'll be addressing later on how you can save your work as you progress through the program.
I don't quite understand it. What do you mean, adjust how to save your work?
They want to know if you'll be addressing. Will you talk about how to save your work?
Yes, absolutely. I will do that.
Okay, great. Just real quick, if anybody on the phone line has a question, you can hit #6 to unmute your line and go ahead and feel free to speak up for a voice. Okay, I don't hear any phone questions, and I'm going to turn things back over to Sabina, and I'm going to have everybody move past slide number 52, and we'll continue on with, on to slide number 52. You can carry on with the presentation.
Okay, thanks, Jean. All right, we're going to go back to the application outline here, in this case for a cleanup grant, and I'm just going to show you what you will see when you click on cleanup, important information, read me. And that might be a little bit repetitive of what I said before. But here you will see, and this is slide number 53, the general requirements for the narrative proposal. You have a blurb about the page limitations, required font size attachments. You'll see the margins, and I want to call your attention under page limitations, the last sentence in the first paragraph. As a guideline, an 18-page narrative with font size 12 will have between 60,000 and 70,000 characters. And that goes to the character count in Tab Easy. So you will be able to judge where, how you're doing on the page limit just by looking at the character count at the bottom of your proposal outline in Tab Easy. Polishing your proposal, again, after you, and I said that before, after you export to Word, you want to make sure that, you know, for example, the points behind the different criteria don't show up anymore, so that's what's meant by that. Compelling transmittal letter, the availability of EPA to answer questions. That may be going to a question that was asked during our Q&A session. So that's under that particular README slide, and we have that for the assessment grant as well. Moving to slide number 54, we're just going to take a look at a criterion here. In this case, we're just going to click on eligible entities, 3C1A. Moving to slide number 55, this is how you would see, and this is how Tab Easy is set up for every single criterion. You get the section text, the instructions basically, and again, these are verbatim out of the guidelines. And you see here the helpful hint. For those of you who follow this live using Tab Easy Live, this is an active link. When you click on it, you will get some text there. And I think the next slide that I eventually will get to it. That's the next one. But you see here, for example, add comment. This is a feature that you can use for yourself. If you writing a section and you have an idea, but right now you don't have time to write anything regarding that idea, you can click add comment. And I think the next slide, let me just double check, that would be number 56, has it. When you click that, this window pops up, slide number 56 now, and this is a text box, and you would type your comment or idea in there. You click on the bottom, add comment, and then that comment would show up on your instruction page and your criterion page in Tab Easy. So you could write, or you can, for example, if you're collaborating and you have a comment about a section but you don't want to alter text, you can put that comment to there for the other people in your group to see it. Slide number 57, looking at the helpful hint. So we're going to click on that in a little bit. But now I also want to show you here, since that was a question already, at the very bottom of this text box, where you are, as a user, putting your text in to answer questions or to address criteria in the application outline, you see the save option. If you want to save text in between, you can click that, and you will stay on that screen, basically. Or you can hit save and back to outline, in which case it will kick you back straight to the outline of the application. Or you can hit back to outline, and in that case, it will get you back to the outline, but it will likely not save your text. So it's really good to get in the habit. I mean, whenever you go back to the outline and you have written something there, just automatically hit save and back to outline, or at least hit save, just that you don't lose anything. So we're pretending we're clicking on helpful hint now on the slide, and that's going to be slide number 58. This is how it will look like. So basically, the helpful hint will pop up in a separate window, and this helpful hint here pertains to eligible entities, and it tells you here who is eligible for, and I believe we're looking still at a cleanup grant application. And again, this is, in this case, this comes straight out of the guidelines. But there might be other helpful hints there, you know, that don't have anything to do with the guidelines, that are just some extra additional information that might be helpful for you to write your grant application. Moving on to slide number 59, we're just going to click on another one that I highlighted here on slide 59. That's continuing obligations, and we'll just pretend we click on that. We get to slide number 60. The continuing obligation text here in red, where this red arrow points to, that's an active link. The reasonable steps, that's an active link. And the helpful hints, that's also an active link. So if you click either one of those, separate windows will open with explanations or any type of helpful hints text that will help you in completing your application. I want you to take a quick look at the budget, and that's where clicking on slide number 61. Highlighted here is the budget section, and you can see here the points that I mentioned earlier. For example, here for the budget, it would be 10 total points. That's how many points this criterion would be worth. Two lines above that, if you see project description and feasibility of success, that's worth 40 points. So you can see already, for somebody who's never worked on it, that this is like a weighted application. I mean, you can see that some items are worth a lot more than others. So moving on to slide number 62. The budget table, when you click on that, you will get this. You have the instructions here. Again, out of the guidelines. Also, there is this active link here to the proposal guidelines. The proposal guidelines per se can also be found under resources, and remember, resources is on this brownish top bar where you also have home, grant applications, resource search, help. So there are different ways to get to it, but here it happens also to be in the actual text. Moving on to slide number 63, this is the page, and I just couldn't take the screenshot at once because the text would have gotten way too small. So this is like the bottom part of that budget table page. It tells you how to set up your budget table, how to import your own budget table, and it tells you about the budget narrative associated again with an helpful hint here. To actually get the budget table, if you looked through or if you ever worked with EPA Brownfields Assessment or Cleanup Guidelines before, you know that there is a draft budget table in the guidelines, and we replicated that budget table. And in order to get to it, when you are in Tab Easy on this page, what you would need to do is, like, just like the text says here, click the budget table button, and that's the one where this one little arrow points to, where all the icons there are there. The one right next to the question mark, that's the budget table. And when you click that, then you will actually get to see that budget table. One thing that you need to do here is, in order to really see all the text in Tab Easy when you're on this page, you need to scroll down this little sidebar, and that's where the red arrow points to on the right-hand side of the screen, in order to see all the text there. The one thing that we did differently this year, and I'll show you that on, let's just do that, go to slide number 64. So when you click on this item, on this budget icon, this is the sample table that pops up, the draft table. And this is how it's set up in the guidelines. So you have your tasks there, and you would need to rename the tasks, of course. You have your budget categories there, again, straight out of the guidelines. What we changed this year when we updated Tab Easy, we enhanced the budget table such that the columns automatically add up. I mean, in reviewing, and it wasn't, we didn't have that feature there before because it was kind of expensive to add for some odd reason, but so this year we bit the bullet and had it. In reviewing grant applications, it's amazing how many applications come in for us here to review where the numbers don't add up. So I'm hoping that, this feature will really help and would make it easier in case you do change your budget, you have it right there, you change the numbers, you still get your totals. Since we're looking at a cleanup application here, you see that you have the cost share down there. Obviously, that does, when you fill that in later on, in case you should do a cleanup application, you know that cost shares don't go into the total, so the budget table is set up like that. For an assessment grant, this cost share row at the bottom here will not show because the assessment doesn't have a cost share. So these tables, assessment versus cleanup, are a little bit different. But in all of these tables, you can add rows, you can add columns, you can remove rows, or you can remove columns, so they're editable for your purposes. And once you're done with that, with your table, you hit OK, and what happens is that the tool will plop the budget table into your application. So if you look on slide number 65, I kind of did a budget table with totally arbitrary numbers, so don't look closely at that number, and I didn't change the tasks per se, but this is how it would look like. And then again, when you scroll down, and that gets us to page, or to slide rather, number 66, you will see the footnotes explained there. One, that travel to brownfields-related training conferences is an acceptable use of grant funds, and that comes straight out of the guidelines, as well as footnotes 2 and 3. The different thing here, too, now, as opposed to last year's Tab Easy, you see at the bottom of this box, it says write budget narrative here. Once you're in Tab Easy, you can put your cursor there, and you can click, and you will see that right now you are in the text document. You can just start writing. So what you want to do in Tab Easy, either once you start writing there or later on when you clean up, delete this write budget narrative here. You also have the option, of course, to delete this little insert there with the footnotes. So that's another thing that you may want to do to clean it up. Let's see, what else can I tell you here? On the instructions of leveraging, you see another helpful hint here, budget narrative. That has a helpful hint. One thing I really would encourage, if you do use Tab Easy, click on these helpful hints, because there's a lot of stuff there that the guidelines don't talk about. So we're moving on to slide number 67. Just briefly, at the very bottom, we tagged on the transmittal letter. The reason that we put it on the bottom, you can see the section number here is 4C2, and that comes in our instance here for the cleanup and the assessment grant outline under section number 5. And the reason why we're doing it is because the transmittal letter really should be written last, because the thinking is you have two pages. The required information that you do need to fill in there does not take two pages. But you may want to use that space in case you have information that you could not fit in the 18-page limit that you have for your actual grant application. So doing the transmittal letter last is always a good idea, because then you really have to, now you can really summarize your project and really make points in the transmittal letter that maybe you weren't able to get across like that in your actual application. So let's just take a quick look at the transmittal letter. I'm moving on to slide number 68. So one of the required information pieces is the applicant identification. Again, you have your section instructions straight out of the guidelines. And then you have the text box here where you will fill in your text. Now, this text box is just set up like everything else in Tab EV for every section where you need to put text to. So you have this box. When you're in Tab EV, you take your cursor, put it somewhere on that blank space here under these header bars, and just start typing. It's just like a regular word processing. The font size is set. I think you can play with it a little bit here on the format, but nothing should happen when you click on font and size in the toolbar, but you have all the other things that you can add to it. Not necessarily maybe the smiley face, but bold and italics, underlined. So it's just like regular word processing. If you want to do something different that there is no option for here on the toolbar, you can always do that once you export to Word, where you maybe have more options handy. And again, I mean, same here, save, and save back to outline at the bottom. I mean, do make sure you do save any text that you put in there. And then once you're done with all of this, you can export it to Word, and just to show you how it looks like, number 70, slide number 70, this is what would come out. Obviously, I only have the headers here. I did not put any text to anything. So you have the section numbers, the criterion numbers. You have the headers, cost share, community notification. And you see what I mentioned earlier, that the total points show up. For example, if you look, the fourth from the top, community need, 15 total points. So that might be something that you want to delete, the text in parentheses where it actually says 15 total points. And you see your budget comes across. So it's really a fairly straightforward process. One thing on the homepage, back to the homepage, the contact us feedback. I mean, we really do welcome feedback because we want to make it better if possible. We want to add things if we have the money next year. So anything that you can, that you notice, maybe something is wrong. This morning I had a feedback that there was a helpful hint didn't come through on the assessment side, that was there was something not quite right there, and we could fix that right away. So stuff like that, because even though we have at least 5 people reviewing when we update, sometimes there are little glitches that we just don't catch. Maybe there's a typo somewhere. Or maybe you don't like something in the setup of this whole thing. I mean, it would be great if you could give us your opinions and your feedback. So when you click on feedback, and I'm moving to slide number, what is it here? Something's double. Let's do slide number 73, and it says contact us feedback. Basically, you just put your feedback subject in there, your email address, your comments. You can send an anonymous comment. When I get this, and these feedbacks will come to me, it just says Tab EV feedback. So if you click the box down at the bottom where it says I'd like to send an anonymous comment, I don't see your email, so I don't have the option to respond, even if I wanted to. So feel free to leave us feedback. I mean, please do leave us feedback. That would be absolutely awesome. Slide number 74, again, is my contact information. This is my direct phone number here, my email address. Feel free to email or call me if you have any questions. Again, if there is somebody there, or maybe you had to, you know, you still have needs regarding Tab EV, let me know. I can, whoever couldn't be on this webcast, we'd be very happy to do individual webcasts, so to speak. We can do them on Skype. We can do a WebEx meeting, whatever. And I think that's all I had as far as Tab EV is concerned.
Okay, great. This is just a call for any other questions or comments that might be lingering in your mind before we officially close things out today. Again, if you're streaming the audio online, then go ahead and use that question mark icon to type up a comment, and I see one or two of them are coming in right now. But I'm going to start while we wait for some online questions to come in and go back over to the phone line. Make sure if you're on the phone line, feel free to hit pound 6 or use your own unmute button. You can go ahead and verbally ask a question or make a comment if you like. Okay. Well, in that case, I'm going to take a question that came in online from Minneapolis. And they ask, or they make the statement, it is clear that you can export to Word, but can you also input from Word? That is, can you cut and paste a portion of a completely separate Word document into the Tab EG program?
Yes, you can. You just need to fit it in one of the criteria, you know, into a text box under one of these criteria.
And so along those lines, it would be true that from any application where you can use the copy and paste or clipboard, you could cut from that into Tab EG.
Yeah.
So if they had used Excel or another word processing application, they should still be able to copy and paste into Tab EG.
Yes. And that's especially true also for the budget table. You know, if you don't want to use the draft budget table out of the guidelines for your budget, if you'd rather make one up yourself outside of Tab EG, you can import that later on via cut and paste.
Okay. Again, just a comment that came in that they're very grateful for the tool and that they're looking forward to trying it, and thanks to the training, it looks like it'll be pretty straightforward and very helpful to them.
Great.
Hello?
Again? Yes, go ahead. Do you have a comment or question?
Yes, this is Mike Gowell, Legion 6. Dr. Martin, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
Fine. A couple clarifications on slide 70 where it's a real-time dump. Should those point totals add to 100 or is it 90?
No.
Excuse me, I'm very, okay, so 90 is the max then.
It just always depends what, I mean, I'm assuming you're talking about the points that the sections are worth?
Yes, on slide 70, if you add those up, it comes to 90. So is that the perfect score or?
Let me see.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. I missed that. I didn't see the same points at the bottom. Forget that comment.
Okay.
But the same slide or 64, it lists tasks. Is this identifiable milestones that the project manager anticipates identifying as an example on the personnel? Task one might be attend regional brownfields.
I wouldn't divvy it out that much. I mean, what you might want to put, for example, if you go for an assessment grant, you could put task one, you could put phase ones. Task two could be, or you could put environmental assessments. One of your tasks could be community outreach. Another task could be, I don't know, whatever.
It's up to you as how many tasks associated with each of those segments. But you don't have to get very granular in the initial application, in other words.
Well, what you might want to do, you know, I mean, just look at what other people did, how many tasks they had. I don't think you want to have 20 different tasks there, because always think about the poor person who has to review all that. So the more you can, you know, kind of combine. And that's where it helps, for these types of questions, how to best do something, that's where it really helps to look at successful grant applications and see how they've set their budget tables up, for example. I see a lot of budget tables that, you know, stick with this format and have, like, maybe four tasks in there, maybe five.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Again, any other comments or questions? Simply hit pound six. Okay, I don't see any other online questions or comments that have come in. This is just a reminder, if you do have follow-up comments or questions, as Dr. Martin already mentioned, her contact information is listed on slide number 74. And, again, we just have a couple more comments that have been submitted, which are just thanking you for the tool that looks very helpful and that they're looking forward to working with it. So I want to be sure to convey that to you guys. But if there are, as you move forward with using the tool, as was already mentioned, if you're looking for one-on-one sessions or you'd like to have more help, by all means, you're welcome to reach out and contact Dr. Martin. Mm-hmm. If you even follow up with me, I can pass your request or your comments on to Dr. Martin to make sure we can provide whatever assistance is necessary with the tool. So I'm going to ask Dr. Martin if you have any final comments or statements you'd like to make before I officially close things out.
The only thing I would like to say, I'm going to check for the person who asked for the color changes or the track changes, you know, if a collaborator changes or edits text. I will check on that. So if you want to either send me an email or leave me some feedback via TabEasy so that I can answer that directly once I find out, because I have not checked that, and see if a different color comes through on the or any track change colors in quotes, how that looks if somebody changes text. So I would need to physically try that out. But I'd be glad to answer that as soon as I do find out.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. Well, with that, I'm going to ask everybody to move on to slide number 75, where you will find two of the links that I mentioned earlier in today's session. The first is the additional resources link, which if you go to that page, you'll see a number of other materials in addition to the actual presentation slides that we went through today, but links to other helpful websites as well as the TabEasy page itself are listed there on the additional resources page. The other link on slide number 75 is our feedback form, which we will ask that you spend just a minute or two to fill out to let us know how we did today. If you're looking for confirmation of your participation, again, you'll want to fill out that feedback form and be sure to check the box on that form asking for a confirmation email for your record. If you're at a location and sharing a computer with multiple individuals, after you submit one feedback form, there will be a link to allow someone else to click on it and submit their own feedback form. So each individual participant can get their own confirmation message if they'd like to do so. Just a reminder to everyone that the session was recorded and it will be available to replay in approximately 1 week on the CLUIN website. You can go to the seminar homepage and you'll be able to access the archive there, or you can also visit cluin.org/training with all the links to our archive sessions in about a week or so, and you'll find it listed there. Either download or replay in a few formats. If you're an iTunes user, you can also search for cleanup information and you'll find our iTunes podcast to subscribe to get our latest training sessions as soon as they're recorded and available for replay. With that, I'm going to formally close out today's presentation. I wanted to extend my thanks to the Downfields Program here at EPA, especially in Region 5, for organizing the session, as well as Dr. Martin and her staff for coming together today with the materials and offering a presentation and answering all of your questions. And lastly, my thanks to everyone who took time out of their busy schedules to sit in on today's presentation. I hope that you found it to be a valuable expenditure of your time and that I'll either hear from you or see you on a future CLUIN Internet seminar. With that, I wish everyone a good morning or good afternoon, depending on the time zone, and formally close out today's presentation. Thank you.